Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today for this online message. I know that the Word of God today will enrich you, will strengthen you, that you will be built up in your faith as we spend time studying the Word and praying together. It's an incredible privilege to be able to share with you, to bring this message to you today here from Pretoria. And I know I speak on behalf of the whole of our apostolic leadership if I say right at the start how incredibly proud I am, we are, of our church, of you, of the way in which in these last 6 months or so, as we've gone through these significant changes, as our whole world has been turned upside down by COVID and all of the regulations and the changes around that all across the world, how you have continued to remain faithful to the call of God upon your life. How you've continued to serve, to pray, to seek His faith, to hold on to the promises of Jesus, and to be the church. Whether our churches who have embarked on food programs and just done fantastically well with that, just made a difference in their communities. Other churches who've hired trucks and have taken worship to the streets in their cities. Our churches in Burundi who've just remained true and faithful to the call of God upon their lives. Our churches in Europe who came together for the planted conference to be strengthened and grow in the faith. How each and every one of us have just continued to remain true to that which we believe God has called us to do. We're proud of you. Thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, Andries van der Merwe shared with us around a passion for Jesus, just simply being passionate for Him. To know Him, to draw close to Him, to live passionately for Him. Today I'd love us to continue around that same theme. Before we go any further, may I ask that we bow our heads together in prayer, commit our time to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for Your Word, that it's Your Word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so today we pray, would You cause Your Word to speak to our spirits? Would You cause Your Word to uplift us, to strengthen us, to draw us closer to Jesus? Holy Spirit, would You reveal Jesus to us? Would You give us understanding, insight into Your Word in Jesus' name? Amen. Over the last few months, our lives, our churches specifically, in the context that we're speaking about today, have been a little bit like the computer that was shut down. And then you turn it back on and you get this message, Windows is downloading updates. And then just as you think it's finished, Windows is installing updates. The most inconvenient of times, and perhaps lockdown came in a similar situation for you, in the most inconvenient of times. Just as you were about to get going, just as you were about to embark on a new project, on a new direction in your life, lockdown put pause to all of that. Lockdown slowed it down. Lockdown forced a reboot. And so as our lives, as our churches are rebooting, even the last few months, our churches have largely gone to shutdown. We've been privileged that technology allows us to do this type of message. Many of our churches and our pastors have excelled in doing that. Our small groups have been able largely to continue to meet over Zoom or WhatsApp or of some sorts, which I'm sure you'll agree isn't quite the same as just being together. But so much of our other ministry, whether it be our encounter series or our Bible school in many of our congregations, our other ministries that we do, have just been this big pause button. And now as we reboot, now as we restart, we're realizing that this software download has changed some things. Our life has changed. The way in which we're conducting our lives have changed. I'm sure for those of us who are parents, we have realized that schooling has changed. We hope, a part of us, I'm sure, so long for the day that my kids can just go to school as normal and the rhythm of life can return to normal. But I'm also aware that the rhythm of life going forward might not look the same as the rhythm of life that it did in the past. And so as we reboot, as the computer is turned on, maybe we think that that icon which has always been in that same place, so easily accessible, the one we use all the time, it's not that it's just moved. I can't find it. This operating system I'm on now, this new version of it, it looks different, it feels different, it works different, and it's going to take a bit of time to get used to it. And so as our lives are rebooting, as we're restarting in this post-lockdown phase, or here in South Africa in lockdown one, and hopefully going into zero lockdown in the coming few weeks or months, I want us to think about being deliberate about rebooting, being deliberate about restarting, being deliberate about realigning the elements of our lives for those things that really matter. I found myself in the lockdown period wrestling with this question: what is it that I really believe in? Do I really believe it? What are the things that matter? There are so many very important things all across the world that matter. The abundance of social justice issues that matter, because there is so much social injustice around. And as Christians, we should be right at the front carrying the message of justice, because righteousness and justice are the foundations of Jesus' throne. And so as we wrestle with these questions, I've been wrestling with this question around what really, really matters. Of all of these social causes, I'm drawn by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. I'd love us to read this passage together, a passage which we know relatively well. We quote it often as believers. We say it often. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. This message of the cross is foolish to the world. It is foolish. And I wonder if we really believe, I'm challenged by this question, do I honestly believe the message of the cross? This message that the God of the universe, the Creator God, who looked at the downfall and the destruction of man, the path that we were on, looked upon us and said, I will send my only Son, who sent him to be born of a virgin so he could be the one true God-man, 100% God and 100% man, who came and dwelt amongst us, and then he gave his life. The message of the cross, he was crucified. But not only did he die, he died for your sin, he died for my sin, he died for our redemption. And then he rose from the grave. He defeated the power of death so that you and I could be free from the punishment of death for all of eternity. And then he ascended to heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. This message of the cross is foolishness. It's stupidity. This message of the cross doesn't make sense. But to us who are being saved, who have had a glimpse of the message of the cross, we know it is the power of the living God. I believe it is C.S. Lewis who said that Christianity, if true, is of infinite importance. If false, is of zero importance. The only thing that Christianity cannot be is of moderate importance. This message of the cross is either the single most important message in all of the universe, or it's not important at all. The one thing it cannot be is partially important, somewhat important, sort of mid-range in our importance barometer. It's either right at the top or right at the bottom. And if we believe it, and I believe today that you do, as you are watching this, I believe that you hold on to the message of the cross. My invitation, my encouragement for us today is, as we reboot our lives, as we recenter, as our lives get going again, we're going back to work. For those who are traveling to work, I know some of you, like our medical staff, have been doing phenomenal work throughout the lockdown period. Haven't had a break. I know some people who've just for 6 months, virtually every single day, have been going to work. We want to say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the way that you continue to serve. But for the rest of us, as our lives reboot, and for those of you who've been working so hard, even as you stop and you recenter your life, my encouragement, my invitation to you today is, let us stop and recenter with Jesus and the message of the cross right in the middle. There's this beautiful passage I'd love for us to read together from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44 to verse 46. Once again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus speaking, and he says to us, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. And so as our lives reboot, I wonder if we have discovered this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God, this kingdom which is worth more than everything else, so much so that I'm willing to sell everything that I own to go and buy the field that has this kingdom in it. Are you and I, as we reboot our lives, willing to say, Jesus, the message of the cross is more important than my comfort. It's more important than my career. It's more important than my finances. All of those elements are so important. At least the career, it's important. If you're doing what God has called you to do, that is important. One of my favorite quotes simply says, whatever God has called you to do, do it as if God has called you to do it. Embrace it. Run with it. Your career is not unimportant. Your financial stewardship is not unimportant. But is the gospel more important? Are you willing to make yourself uncomfortable? Are you willing to say, my career, as much as I believe God has called me to do this, is not as important as the message of the cross? If it costs me my career to proclaim the message of the cross, that is a small price to pay. If I have to change careers to put the message of the cross right at the center, God, I am willing to do that. That this message of the cross, which is foolishness to the whole of the rest of the world, to me, it is the power of God, and I will embrace it. I will hold on to it. I will live for it. I will make it the center of all I am and all I do. Is it important to you that your neighbors hear the gospel message? Is it important to you that your community hears the gospel message? Is it important to you that the nations hear the gospel message? I love that as a church, we have always had this strong missions drive, this drive towards the nations. And I want to implore you, I want to pray, I want to say, please, as we reboot, what if we all put that right back at the center of everything we are and everything we do? Jesus said it so beautifully in Matthew chapter 28, and I don't think he's revised that for us yet, where he said, go into all the world and make disciples. All the world includes across the aisle. All the world includes across the road. All the world includes the block next door to your block. It also includes the other continents. It also includes the other nations and the ends of the earth. And let's embrace the fullness of making disciples wherever our feet could possibly carry us. And so as we reboot, let us reboot with Jesus, the message of the cross, at the center. Let us reboot with a prayer in our heart saying, Jesus, I want to live for this. Perhaps you're listening to this message and you're saying, Philip, I don't know that I have discovered this kingdom which is worth so much, this pearl of great price that I've sold everything else to go and buy the field that I might have that pearl. The great news for you today, the encouraging news, is none of us can fabricate it. You cannot make it happen in your life. I cannot make it happen in your life. But simply beginning to engage with the gospel, you will discover that kingdom. Simply praying a prayer saying, Jesus, I want to discover this kingdom which is worth more than the choicest of garments and of rubies and of stones and of wealth on this earth. This kingdom of knowing you, Jesus, I want to engage with that. Simply beginning to pray that Jesus will work that in your heart. And so our message for us today is a simple message. It's a short message, but I hope and pray it is a message that will help us just to redefine our lives, to recenter our lives, to replan our lives. I want to close with this last passage also from the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. We read the first verse here. We read verse 18. I want us to read the rest of this. And as we read it, I pray that the Holy Spirit will breathe it over our spirits, that he will send us from listening to this message today, just encouraged a little bit more to live with him. with faith stirring in our hearts, saying, Jesus, I can and I want to live for the gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say, it's all nonsense. See, the religious group and the intellectual group, when we're confronted simply with the message of the cross, it seems to not be enough. The religious group, we're looking for a sign. We're looking for something more than the message of the cross. This message can't be enough on the one hand. And on the other hand, that what's called here the Greeks, it's the intelligent, it's the intellectual. No, but science cannot understand it. Science cannot rationalize this. Except history and science teaches us that Jesus did rise from the grave. And we cannot explain that scientifically this is true. But that is why it is a supernatural occurrence from a creator God who make it possible to rise from the dead, who can redeem all of our eternities. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, can we just take a moment and remind ourselves there, whether we come from the religious background, whether we come from the intellectual background, those we're ministering to, whether in the intellectual crowd or whether in the religious crowd, all of them can be called to salvation by God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. And so as we close this message today, that is my invitation to us. That if we are to boast about anything, if we have to proclaim anything, if we are to live for anything, let it be the message of the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, when Andre shared with us, he spoke about being different, daring to be different, willing to be different for Jesus. Let us embrace that call. Let us heed that call. Let us say, my life should look different, will look different, because I am not of this world, even though I am in this world. I am sent into this world to lead them to Christ, to demonstrate Christ, to love them, to care for them, to show them truth, to show them purity, to show them Jesus. Just a few chapters after what we read in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 4, Paul says, our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. Our dedication to Christ makes us look foolish. Our dedication to Christ, your dedication to Christ. My prayer is that that would be true for us. That as shofar, as a family of faith, that our dedication to Christ would make us look like fools. That we would be willing to lay it all out there. We would be willing to sell everything we have to buy that field with a pearl of great price, because he is worth it. Because knowing Jesus is worth it. Because following him is worth it. And because this gospel matters. Can we pray together as we close? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful today for your word. We're thankful that it's your word that shapes and changes and transforms our lives. It's your word which has directed saints throughout the ages. And so as we just come again today and we kneel before your word, we bow before your word, we ask your word to invigorate and to strengthen us, Lord. We pray that we may grow in faith, that we may grow in our dedication to Christ, that we may grow in our knowledge of Christ. Father, I pray for every single person who has heard this message today, that our love for the message of the gospel may only increase, that our understanding of the power of the message of the cross would only grow, that we would be more bold for you, Jesus, to proclaim the message, that we would be more wise in our application of it, Lord, that we may speak it appropriately in all of the various contexts we find ourselves, but that it may demonstrate itself as the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Father, if there's anybody this morning who's listening to this message who does not know you as yet, right now I pray that they may have a revelation of the gospel message, that they would put their faith in you, Jesus, that they would choose to follow you, and they too would see the foolishness of this world being wiser than the wisdom of this world, Lord. That this foolishness of Christ would be more than enough for them. And so, Jesus, we honor you, we thank you, we bless you for this time that we've been able to spend together. And I pray, God, that you, as you always have, would continue to build your church and that we would know the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sitting through this message. My prayer for you in this week, may you go out and live boldly for Jesus. God bless you.